Talk Cleveland, WERE, Cleveland Heights, WENZ HD2, and WZAK HD3, Cleveland. And streaming live at blackplanetradio.com. This is a paid program brought to you by Cleveland Clergy Coalition. The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station or its management.
It must be Monday, 5 o'clock in Cleveland, because the issues, the people, and the community, we're here, and we are always about leaning on one another, and we thank God that for that song, that original song from Bill Withers, Lean On Me. I want to just thank God that we have people that we can lean on, and I have one of my lean on people, one of our greatest leaders in our community, sitting with me here today. Our dear councilman, Award 1, my dear friend and brother beloved, Councilman Joe Jones. Good to see you here, my brother.
It's so good to be here, Pastor. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely, always. And thank God we have I forgot to introduce myself. So excited about you being here. I'm Pastor Aaron Phillips. I'm the proud pastor of the Sure House Baptist Church, 11318 Miles Avenue, best place to be on Sunday morning at 9 a.m., and I also have the privilege to serve as the executive director for the Cleveland Clergy Coalition that sponsors this broadcast. Cleveland Clergy Coalition is an amalgamation of all the African-American clergy groups in our county, from the United Pastors in Mission, the Baptist Ministers Conference, Baptist Pastors Council, East Cleveland Concerned Pastors, Cleveland Clergy Alliance, and many, many others. And we thank God for all of those pastors and folks who serve in our coalition. And always have my main brother here, side man, Larry Hagler, is in the house.
Always a pleasure, Pastor.
All right. Thank you, my brother. And we also have another one of our folks from the church that's going to come in today. But we're going to just start this broadcast with a dear shout out and prayer to our brother, beloved brother Tony George, who 16-year-old son who was plagued with leukemia, passed away yesterday. And what a joy of a young man he was, and a legacy that he leaves. He knew the Lord Jesus Christ, and
amen.
I had the privilege to go and pray with him on more than one occasion and pray for him. Tony is a dear friend of mine, and is just a great family and great supporter. And I just want to just pray for you, Brother Tony, today, and you have our prayers, and
I appreciate
all that you do for our community. And so give a moment of silence and a prayer, your thoughts towards Tony George and the loss of his son, Mikey, and thank God.
It feels good in here.
Oh, we're on the radio. We actually own the broadcast. We are live. Anything live happens on the bridge broadcast. Father, we pray for the George family. We know, God, if there's one person in heaven, we know it's Mikey George. We thank God for his life and his legacy and the gift that you have given him to him, given unto us, oh God, and now you take back to heaven. Thank you, oh Lord Jesus. Thank you, Brother Tony, and your
Thank
family.
You.
In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We are Christians. We do believe in Jesus Christ unashamedly.
That's right.
Unashamedly, we are proud, and we are proud to lift up our community and stand for our community as we believe in Jesus Christ. We don't believe that all of our work ought to be in the church.
That's right.
We got to come outside the walls of the church, and that's what this broadcast is about. And we have one of our decorated leaders here, Brother Joe Jones, who is a very fine Christian man, and I actually don't like to give him the mic because he starts preaching, he's going to take my job. And I really appreciate you, Councilman Jones, and just kind of give us an update and tell us what's happening in the city of Cleveland. You've been a councilman how many years now?
I've been a councilman now for 16 months.
16 months.
16 months, and getting reacclimated back to the city of Cleveland politics has certainly been a interesting ride, and but it's been a good one.
I've been praying for you. You're
Thank
on my
you.
Daily prayer list.
Thank you.
And that's a short list, and you're on it, brother.
Well, I appreciate that, you know, tremendously, Pastor. You know, one of the things when we're talking about prayer is so important, and we've somehow gotten away from that. And I had a reporter contact me and ask me about my comments on the last city council meeting of this month. And what, you know, I was asking.
Tell us, I know about them, but everyone in Radio Land may not know. They're not boning up on Cleveland politics every day like you and I. So tell everyone what about that incident.
Well, the situation was I was asking and requesting for, you know, city council to open up their sessions on Monday nights with prayer.
Thought we did that.
We did that when I was a councilman over 20-some years ago.
We don't do that anymore.
And since I've been there, we have not had prayer at that session opening it up. And
well, I will tell you that what I just asked you is what most of the church folks said. Because the church folks always knew we always did that. Mm-hmm. And they were like, when did they stop doing that? We don't do. So the assumption has been that it has been going on all the time. But here we go. We got newly elected councilman who is a man of God and a man of faith. Notice what was going on when he was there initially as a rookie. Now that he comes back as a veteran, is not going on anymore.
Right.
And wonder why is our, maybe that's one of the reasons our communities are looking so frustrated.
It is. I mean, you know, one of the things is that, you know, each and every person, you know, has their own beliefs, ideals, concepts, and opinions. But one thing that's certainly for true is that this nation has money printed in God we trust.
Right.
So you can't have it both ways. You can't say in God we trust, but then at the same time don't want to have prayer and give recognition to the creator of the entire planet and the earth.
Well, Mr. Councilman, I mean, you and I know this, but let's just make sure our community knows this. There's a little institution called the United States Congress. They open up with prayer in every session. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Oh, okay. All right. Just thought I would just.
So
if the United States Congress is opening up with prayer, you're going to tell me we don't need to open up with prayer in the Cleveland City Council? I mean, it's not that hard of a stretch. You don't need to even have to sell it like that. That should be automatic. That should be one way that the church can be engaged in with the city again. There should be a whole clergy, a chaplain. There should be a chaplain to the city of Cleveland, the council chaplain, and that chaplain should be setting up pastors coming in there every Monday to give a prayer. You know how far that would go? And that's just low-hanging fruit, doesn't cost anything. All you just do is just do that. You know, and that's just so easy. But if we make that difficult, and let's be clear, Sister Gwen Jarvis is joining us today. Say hello to everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah, we actually do start on time. I may not make it to church on time, but I'm going to be at the radio station on time because I don't open up. I'm the devotion opener for the radio station. Deacon Freeman's not here.
I'm just a visitor today, so I don't have to be on time.
But we appreciate you visiting with us. But seriously, we know, let's not, you know, make any kidding about it. We know that because we start praying at city council meetings that everything is going to, there's some magic is going to happen. But this, the respect of God, and this was in the right mindset of when our leaders are making decisions, just to say that we want to acknowledge our creator, for the reason why we're here. That just gives a signal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a signal. It's a symbol.
And then to ask for his blessings, too.
Yes.
Because everything that we do in life, we do it because of his will, we have our being.
Yes.
And so while we exist on this planet, one of the things is to make sure we give and pay that tribute of respect. But more important, to ask for his support and his blessings on our neighborhoods.
Right.
Right now, we're faced with some very difficult situations in our communities, and we need all the help we can get.
Yes.
We have an educational system right now that, unfortunately, has continued to fail. We have all kinds of crime and drug activity and stuff in our neighborhoods and some areas. We need help and we need assistance. And we need to always remember that, you know, when you add the God factor in there, it's a powerful factor.
Right.
And, you know, when you get to a certain age, you can understand that.
Right.
And so it is my hope that, you know, we do get prayer back in city council.
I want prayer back in, but I'm not old as you. I'm kidding.
Thank you.
But listen, Councilman, give us a couple of big things that is happening in the city of Cleveland that all of us Clevelanders and greater Clevelanders need to know about.
One of the biggest things that are happening right now is starting in Ward 1 first. So it's a major thing for us is they're putting new lighting in, LED lighting. And this new lighting technology is the state-of-the-art technology. It has a platform where you can add things onto it. And what they're adding onto it, their first installation is going to be safety cameras. And so they will start the safety camera initiative also in Ward 1 first, in terms of putting safety cameras in some of the most hot areas in our neighborhoods so that they have a second tier of eyes and ears, in a sense, in the neighborhood.
So let's be clear about this. Thank you, by the way, and I know why that's happening. But thank you. But let's be clear for our audience, Gwen, so everybody knows this. You mean to tell me in Ward 1 there's not cameras everywhere?
No.
Okay, and then we wonder why crime. Now, I bet you there's cameras everywhere in Solon.
Well, I think that it's a difference between, see, you're probably right. There's a lot of cameras in Solon. The challenge is being able to have the funds and the resources to do that. It is going to be an expensive endeavor, and a tune of something like close to $24 million.
Who's paying the bill?
It's going to be paid for out of the general fund of the city council.
Do we have any federal dollars coming for that?
I want to say we do have funds and resources and that will be coming from the
federal
government.
I would hope that the federal government is helping us in Ward 1 to keep our community safe. And I will tell you, one of the things that you ran on and that you are now implementing on, before you can do any good in our community, you got to make sure it's safe.
That's right.
And that was one of your major things that I remember.
And having safety cameras.
Absolutely, is a step towards that direction.
It is a promise made and a promise kept now.
Right.
And it's great timing, too, in a sense, because the administration had already been thinking about doing that. And part of those funds are coming from issue 32 funds.
Oh, that's good.
And remember, we went out and we campaigned on that levy.
That's right.
So that has made it possible for us to have that. And here's another thing about those street lamps that are going up. Because it's smart technology, when a lamp blows, then you can get access. It goes on the grid showing that light is blowed. And so they can look at their computer and send a work order out to change that bulb. So they don't no longer have to wait for someone from on the street to say, my lamp is blowed. It's been like that for a week.
Okay.
They'll know automatically, and they can send a work order out.
The other
issue on that is that they can control how much light comes out of the bulb from the downtown location, meaning that it could be 100 watts, or we can make it 80 watts, or we can make it 60 watts. So we can change the how bright it is on any particular street. So
that's
a smart thing about that. And then the platform also has the capacity to expand to newer technology. Like, for an example, some cities have this thing called the shot spotter. And so when a shot is fired off, that shot spotter is able to calibrate exactly where the shot was fired. So it's maybe a difference of maybe 5 or 6 feet, but they can tell exactly where the gunfire shot off at. And then it automatically notifies the police department when that happens, where the gunfire was, how many gunfire shots it were. It counts out the shots. It tells you exactly where the shots were coming from.
Wow, that is fantastic. And that's going to be in Ward 1. Initiative.
Well, the shot spotter is being it's not in the neighborhood yet, but it's one of the technologies that could be added
to,
later
okay.
that later on
gotcha.
Down the road.
Okay.
But what will be added in the ward in Ward 1 first is the first new LED bright lights that's
gotcha.
Going in Ward 1 first. And then after they finish all the installation in Ward 1, then they'll go over to the subsequent wards.
Okay, and I think isn't I think another not because only because you're a fantastic councilman, you know, obviously, but also there was a higher crime rate in Ward 1 too as well. It spiked the last couple of years, and so that we wanted to get a hold of that because that usually was not true. Is that right?
That's right. You have an increase in crime all over, and I think in part some of that is due to the consent decree. And the
what do you mean by the consent? What do you,
the consent?
I know what that means.
Well,
but,
basically, what that is telling police officers what they can do and what they cannot do, what they used to do and how they police they can no longer do that. And it's a matter of policies, processes, and procedures, and retraining. You know, so you have a lot that's going on, and so you have you have some of the police officers who approach things a lot more cautiously. They're not gung-ho running right on out to deal with an issue. They have to, you know, think about it, how they're going to make that approach. So we won't have some of the incidences, unfortunately, that happened in our neighborhood with the 136 shots fired scenario that happened some time back, as well as the Tamar Rice issue. Because at the end of the day, when you have to pay out millions and millions of dollars on these incidences, that's not good for the city of Cleveland.
Well, I understand.
And you have to, you know, make sure that your police, they're doing the most important things that they're supposed to do, is to protect you and to serve you.
Right. Well, thank God for the lights that are coming up in Ward 1. I will be glad when they get in Ward 2. We had some shootings that have been unresolved, but if we had those lights there, so I'm glad that we're moving in the right direction for transformations, one step at a time.
That's right.
And thank you for that one. All right. What's happening? Tell us about anything else that's happening with city council initiatives that's going on.
Well, the city council passed the lead piece here, and you probably saw a lot of that coverage. And it is basically holding accountable people who have properties that have lead-based paint in them and how to shore that up, as well as what funding will be made available to assist those landlords in doing that.
Okay.
And that's something that's new, and it hasn't been the case always in the city of Cleveland.
And that's something we can get the word out on, right, Gwen, about getting folks to know there are resources available. Because that's a lot of times that even landlords need some resources to keep those houses together for the folks to stay in. Because many times it's hard to even meet the standard of Section 8, let alone just habitable standards. So if there's some resources that are out there, that's something that we can broadcast and let folks know, give them that information about. That's
right.
What would be a good thing.
Right.
All right. All right. What else is happening in Ward 1?
Well, you know, it is an exciting time. We received funds for getting Harvard redone. So Harvard's almost about to be completed.
Yeah, I noticed all the traffic on Harvard. I have to use Harvard now as a thoroughfare because 77 is open sometimes. It is. It's open sometimes. And I noticed that. You know, are we making sure? Tell us what is the plan to make sure we have some of our brothers and sisters working on those sites.
Well, you know, one of the things is the contracts that come through the city of Cleveland goes to the OEO department, and they're responsible for making sure that we have compliance in terms of city regulations. You at least have 20% of minorities on those jobs. But a lot of times you don't see minorities on those jobs.
Right.
And so it's good for the people to call in to their elected officials to request, you know, where are the black people on these jobs?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, Pastor Phillips, I go to a lot of construction sites. I don't see enough of our people with these jobs.
Well, I'm glad you said it, because Larry, I was driving down Harvard today, and I noticed a whole lot of folks that didn't look like me working in my neighborhood. That means they're making money in my neighborhood, and that's good. I'm glad for them, but I need some of us's. I'm unashamedly Christian, and I'm unashamedly black. We're back. For the issues, the people in the community, back here with Councilman Joe Jones. We got our guest host today, Sister Gwen Jarvis, here, and Brother Larry. We'll hear from you, 216-578-1490. We'll take calls after this, 216-578-1490. You hear from us after this break.
and his blue skies are gone.
Yes, it is.
Can you hear him crying now?
There's a girl searching for a father.
Everything you need to know about Cleveland sports, news, weather, and more is at NewstalkCleveland.com. For instant updates, follow us on Facebook at NewstalkCleveland1490 and on Twitter at NewstalkCleveland1490.
Sometimes we forget that the funeral is for the living. It is the last visible viewing and celebration. But for those of us in the industry, it is a time for our experience and excellence to shine. At R.A. Prince Funeral Services, our expertise in different cultures, economics, and family blend makes us stand out in helping to meet the trust and faith you have placed in our hands. We know it is paramount for us to ease the burden and release the pressure of this time of need. Let R.A. Prince Funeral Services meet with you and take the worry out. Call us at 216-518-1777. That is 216-518-1777. R.A. Prince Funeral Services, for such a time as this.
Tea and Honey with Dr. Gwen Jarvis. I was born, raised, and educated locally, weekly to bring tea leaves of my own experience, talents, and training as bold and boundless as a butterfly to enlighten, inspire, and uplift our community and beyond. With stems on education, health, community, civic, spiritual, and the joys of life. Thursdays, 5 p.m., WERE, 1490 a.m. Join me for tea.
Have you mixed your pain meds, your sleep meds, your allergy meds? Call the Poison Helpline. Has your child eaten a tube of toothpaste, a chip of paint, a wild mushroom? Call the Poison Helpline. Have you been bitten by a spider, a snake, an insect? Call the Poison Helpline. Poisonings can happen at the home, on the job, or in the great outdoors. Call the Poison Helpline first for fast, free advice from medical professionals. Call 1-800-222-1222 anytime, anywhere. 1-800-222-1222. Save the number, save a life. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
My name is Dr. Will Crossley, president of the Pineywood School, the longest-serving African-American boarding school in the country. Since 1909, Pineywood has educated children with the unshakable belief that all students can lead extraordinary lives through academic achievement and responsible citizenship. As a graduate, I was once one of those students. With nearly 100% of our graduates going on to college, you can make an impact in our students' lives and communities. Partner with us today. Go to pineywoods.org and click donate.
Mo and Mo Jr. Tires and Auto Repair, located at 8202 Superior Avenue. For the best deals in new and used tires plus auto repair, see Mo or Mo Jr. They're open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., on Sunday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., serving Cleveland since 1995. If you need oil change, brakes, or auto repair, stop in and see Mo or Mo Jr. or call 216-231-0059. That's 216-231-0059. Mo also offers road service and they pay the best prices for your junk cars. And for your convenience, Mo has two locations, 8202 Superior Avenue and their new location at 103 in St. Clair. And remember, if you need tires or auto repair, call Mo or Mo Jr. You'll be riding good through the neighborhood.
News Talk Cleveland, WERE, Cleveland Heights, WENZ HD2, and WZAK HD3, Cleveland. And streaming live at blackplanetradio.com.
This is for that little child with no father. For that man that doesn't have a place to stay. And for that little boy living with AIDS.
Can I tell you a story, tell you a story?
You can lean on me.
All right, we're back. The issues of people in the community. I'm Pastor Aaron Phillips, prop pastor of Shrouds Baptist Church, 11318 Miles Avenue, every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. That's not Sunday school. That's our worship service, and we had a great worship service yesterday, didn't we, Gwen?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
Larry, yes. You was there in church yesterday. Yeah, yes. We thank God for what the Lord is doing and moving at our little house on the prairie, and we're that little engine that could, and thank God for all the folks who continue to make Shrouds work. And thank the Lord for Cleveland Clergy Coalition, sponsor of this broadcast, our outreach arm of what we do in our community. And we are privileged today to have one of the top councilmen. Well, you know, it's hard to say that, but it's just the truth. So, you know, I am a truth teller. We are one of our top councilmen on the city council, our dear friend and brother, Joe Jones. Thank you for being here, Joe.
Thank you, Pastor.
And I really, you know, I want to dig back into this, Gwen. You know, one of the problems that we may have and we may need to push for is making sure that the contractors are African-American. You know, we have some good contract. We don't just have to get employees. We've got some people who are African-American who are in business that they can then, they'll hire much more than 20%. Mm. You know, especially when it comes to jobs in our neighborhood. Amen. You know, I don't know who Terrence Company is, but I do know who McTech is. You know what I'm saying? I know who the Perkins family. Right. I know the families of folks in our community who give back over and over and over again. And, you know, those are the kind of things that we need to make sure is happening. Not just, you know, we thank God for entry-level employment and, you know, getting people, you know, that those laborer jobs, that is critical for us. But it's also critical that for us to really gain wealth is to be owners of things. And so when we have businesses who are owners, then we can make sure, because that's hiring and taking care of a lot of black folks then. Right. You understand what I'm saying? So that we really need to, maybe that's, we can focus on that as well.
And I think that the effort probably needs to have community more. We need to create a situation where we bring the community in for further input on the issue, because this is a situation that was visited back during the civil rights movement, and it still is indicative today that if you have your taxpayers paying so much as relates to taxes for services,
right,
when you do have the opportunity to rebuild your neighborhood, why not have the local people who are in the neighborhoods participate in that? And we even went as so far as a city fighting against the state who did not want to succeed to saying that we need to have 20%. We're talking about the Fannie Lewis law, and they fought the city of Cleveland, and we had to fight them in the courtrooms in order to have the Fannie Lewis law prevail.
Wow.
And even though we have the Fannie Lewis law, we're still not hiring African Americans at the 20% rate that we should on all of these contracts. And we just passed off, Pastor, $1.8 billion in a budget from the city of Cleveland. So the taxpayers are paying into this, and they're not even allowed to have the opportunity to really get in here and get onto some of these jobs.
There should be, that is a really revolutionary idea, Gwen, that there be community input on the selection process of these contractors, particularly when they're coming into our community.
That's right.
Now that is something. Just say that. I don't know what that. I can't read. I barely graduated from middle school. Go ahead.
Also feel by having employees and contractors from the community, they would have more pride because they want to do whatever is best for the community.
Absolutely.
Because it's a reflection of them and also where they live and their families live.
Right.
So that's very important. And you said only they're required to have 20%?
That's right.
20% of African American, of minority participation.
And we're not even meeting that.
And the minority participation, Gwen, is not just African Americans, it's women, Hispanics, and all that, right?
And they've made it the rainbow of
yeah,
all.
Yeah, it's a rainbow coalition.
So it's not just talking about African Americans. You're talking about women are considered minorities.
Right.
All women. Blacks are considered minorities. Hispanics are considered minorities. Asians are considered minorities.
Right.
Anything that's not white is a minority.
Right. And so, And so then what ends up happening, you'll see white women. I seen one today working out there on Harvard in my neighborhood. And where did this white woman get this job from? And how many brothers are sitting down while she's sitting here working?
And you know, the issue is we're not, and just so that you, so the radio citizens are hearing this, we're not asking for anything different than what was asked for in the 1960s. All we're saying is give us a fair shake.
Right.
We're not saying that you should go and hire us just because we want a token job. We're only saying hire us because we're qualified to do the work.
Absolutely.
And we should have an opportunity to do the work.
Right.
So it's a difference. And so then when you look at Pastor Phillips, what we have done in just a space of a decade in building new schools in the city of Cleveland, we're spending $1 billion each year.
You know,
so when you're spending $1 billion and you invested $10 billion in the schools program in just in one decade, some of these people who are building the schools don't have their businesses not even in the city of Cleveland.
Some of them,
are coming from out of state.
So I was gonna say, some of them aren't even in the state of Ohio. And you know, what this really gets my blood boiling. That's why we can only have you come on so often, because you get me so excited. Councilman Jones, but you know what? When you think about the status quo, the folks in charge, the people who are making these decisions, they never have a problem making money on us. So they make money putting us in prison, giving us tickets, gerrymandering. They make they already have an economy based on us. But when we want to be a part of the table, we don't want to just be the meal. We want to be one there sitting, eating with them. We don't want to be the bacon and the eggs all the time. We want to be one of the people that's eating with them. And what I'm saying is that's why we need to come be unashamedly say we're looking for our peace as African Americans. I really, you know, they had the hearings about reparations and people, you know, want to talk about all around that issue and then talk about it. But we need to have a clear understanding as a group of people, as African Americans, this country owes us something. And we're not saying that we're lazy or we want something to be given to us. We're saying you owe us. And when you owe, you got to pay me when you owe me. You can't give me no excuse of talking about you need to work hard, pull yourself up the bootstraps and all. Oh, give me all that when this country was built on the backs of my ancestors. And all we're saying is when you're making these decisions, I love that we should be a part of that decision-making process, asking questions that are related to us. What is this company going to do in our community? How is this company going to impact our community once they come here, do this job, and take the money out? What are they going to do to help us in our community? How many of their folks? I got Ray Ray over here and Shaniqua over there. I need them with a job. When we start engaging at that level, then we're making a demand. Before you come in here, you're going to make sure that you ain't going to be the only one here eating at this table. We hungry, and we brought our appetite too.
Well, here's part of the problem. Again, we're saying, at least I'm saying, and I know I speak for my dad, and I know I speak for his generation because he sort of kind of like drilled this into me, is we're saying we don't want any special treatment.
Right.
We're saying that all we want is an opportunity and a fair shake.
That's right.
So when we come to the table, we just want a fair opportunity. We don't want you to turn us away because our last name happens to be a Jones or a Johnson.
Right.
We're saying that you give us the same opportunity so that we can flourish.
That's right.
So that we can feed our families.
That's
so that we can have the opportunity to have a vacation.
Absolutely.
So that we can maybe go and splurge a little bit on ourselves on a weekend getaway
for
3 days.
That's right.
That's all we're saying in one sense. But the problem is deeper than this, Pastor.
Go ahead.
It goes into the miseducation of our children. Right now, our children are not taking up electrical stuff.
They're
not taking up masonry.
They don't know
how to put down concrete infrastructure and roads.
That's right.
They don't have the understanding of developing and building institutions. They're not a part of, and we're not engaging our kids to be a part of this great capitalistic society that we have here. Because make no qualms about it, it's not just working for someone, but it's establishing and starting your own business.
Yes.
And that is truly where you begin to understand what freedom is all about.
That's right.
But you won't understand freedom if you're always constantly working for someone. You won't understand freedom if you're tethered to having to pay the electric, gas, and water and worrying about all these bills. When you have the resources, you've established your own business, and you can pay that, and that's not an issue. That's true freedom.
That's right. Absolutely. I would tell you that, you're on
and
something.
And that's how they're killing us. And now,
right.
Now let's swing it back to the educational system. Because, Pastor,
our issues right now is not totally completely, say, a systematic issue. It is our own doing. It's our own people. So we have to hold one, too.
You're right.
We can't,
run
from that right there.
You're right.
Because
right.
the people who are running the school system are who? The people who are in authority and power in the city of Cleveland are who?
That's us.
So then
that's
if we are at the helm, if we want true justice, maybe there's others that's behind the scenes, we need to be able to utilize those positions of authority to add the kind of leverage we need to say, okay, we're doing all this over here, come over here on this side and take care of my people too.
Well, one of the initiatives, as you know, that
did you hear what I said?
Absolutely,
take care of my people too.
One of the initiatives that we've been asking about, like there is a Max Hayes. To what your point is, there's a Max Hayes on the west side. Where is our Max Hayes on the east side? It used to be East Tech, but we need those technical training to let our young people know everybody's not going to go to college, and maybe college is not the path you want to take. Anyway, there are other things that you can do that will make, you know, that you can be good at and make money at, and because everybody's not, and college, you know, going and getting college debt maybe not be the model that we want to go to. I don't know if I would do that again. And so that's what I'm saying. What we don't have, where is our East Tech on the east side that African-American children can get to? You know, it's transportation is a tough issue. We have schools of choice. I mean, there's so many things that we need to. You're absolutely right. We got to provide the workforce, the quality workforce for these folks to hire. Make sure the people are prepared to become small businessmen. It's a kingdom effort. I mean, it's a holistic
That's
effort,
right,
right? It's not just
it can't
just be the church. It can't just be the councilman. It can't just be the business community. It's got to be all hands on deck. For us to have real transformation. And listen, that's what we're about with the coalition. That's what we are wanting and trying to do. So I'm saying this to say we're preparing people. I was at a meeting the other day, Councilman, that 40% of businesses in our country hire 50% of the workforce.
Wow.
40%. So that means small businesses, they have 50 or less people working for them. Small businesses is the way to go.
It is.
And that is what is, and there are opportunities right now that the banks are, there's information. You know, a lot of times, Larry, is our problem is we're not getting information. Now, I would tell you that's one of our biggest problems because, the more you are out in the community and the stuff that we do, and I know this is true for you as a councilman. Mm-hmm. How much information have you learned just because you're a councilman that you didn't know about that was happening, even though you have been moving and shaking in the community? I bet you've got a plethora of new stuff that you didn't know about.
It is phenomenal in terms of the I would say, the congestion of information that I've gotten.
Right.
And I have to say it like that because it will stop you up.
Yes.
Because you're going to have to slow down just to go through it. The problem, to add to this, is that, for an example, we have a commission overseeing the police department. Now, they put the money there to hire all the staff and everything and to run the program, but what they don't have is the most critical piece is the communication funding so that you can go out and market what's really going on to the people so the citizens will know that all of this money and all of what's being spent, what it's being spent for, what it's actually doing, they won't have any knowledge to it. So they don't even have enough money to put a flyer out, to pass flyers out about the meeting. So they're just holding meetings, and the way they're getting the information out is word of mouth, where they can distribute it to some library locations or however how they're doing it, and through email, that's it.
Yeah,
but in terms of the masses of the people to understand what's actually happening here,
right,
they don't have it. And so what I'm seeing these programs.
I'll have my technology person to contact them. She can hook them.
And they need it because, see, I'm old school. And if you want to get information out, in fact, it's such an issue, Pastor, that I have to go out of my pocket now to spend money just to educate my people about what's available, what's happening in the neighborhood, don't even have the kind of funding necessary to get to people with all the great opportunities and all the stuff.
I'm so glad you said that. And Gwen,
that's
what I was talking to you about. That's why we may need to extend to Thursday. We as a coalition, We want to be that information bank to give yes. people stuff, to give them direction, but we got to get resources. Listen, I know how to get information to folks. I do it
me
every
too.
Day.
Okay.
But you got
too.
To pay me so I can pay some other folks. I'm running a small business. Larry, need a job. Don't you need some money?
That's right.
All right,
yeah,
I'm
I do
just
too.
Playing.
I got five
but
five.
Oh, Lord.
Uh-oh.
Listen, we'll be back. This is our last break. We're going to come back. We're going to keep Councilman Jones here. The city council is off session, so thank God that he can stay the entire hour with us.
Right.
But we're going to come right back to Larry with the Black History Moment, and we're going to get Kingdom Information and Community News with Stacey Polk, who's going to give us that right at 5:40. We're going to come back.
Mo and Mo Jr. Tires and Auto Repair, located at 8202 Superior Avenue. For the best deals in new and used tires plus auto repair, see Mo or Mo Jr. They're open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., on Sunday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., serving Cleveland since 1995. If you need oil change, brakes, or auto repair, stop in and see Mo or Mo Jr. Or call 216-231-0059. That's 216-231-0059. Mo also offers road service, and they pay the best prices for your junk cars. And for your convenience, Mo has two locations, 8202 Superior Avenue and their new location at 103 in St. Clair. And remember, if you need tires or auto repair, call Mo or Mo Jr. You'll be riding good through the neighborhood.
For years, North Coast Auto Mall has been providing financing to people with credit challenges. We are known for that, but we're so much more. We'd like to share some facts about North Coast Auto Mall with you. North Coast Auto Mall is Cleveland owned and operated for over 20 years.
That's a fact.
North Coast Auto Mall has over 2,000 vehicles available for sale.
That's a fact.
North Coast Auto Mall offers over 100 different models at every location.
That's a fact.
North Coast Auto Mall offers their vehicles for sale at 10% less than the market average.
That's a fact.
North Coast Auto Mall takes in trade-ins and offers service contracts on every single transaction.
That's a fact.
North Coast Auto Mall is consistently the highest volume independent dealer group in the state of Ohio month over month, year over year.
That's a fact.
North Coast Auto Mall has the widest selection of inventory at the best prices in the market.
That's a fact.
Come see the facts for yourself and shop at North Coast Auto Mall near you to get the best price on the vehicle of your dreams. Three locations or call 1-800-NEXT-CAR.
May I say now, for example, amount finance equals $9,000, APR rate 24.9, 48 monthly payments of $297.91 upon approved credit.
Did you miss the Tom Joyner Morning Show?
The BET Awards last night. I see where Snoop Dogg got the Bobby Jones Gospel Award.
What the hell was that?
Beating out.
That was the question a lot.
Beating out Erica Campbell, Kirk Franklin, and Fred Hammond.
And yeah. I love Snoop's gospel album. I really do. Lord knows yeah. I do. In Jesus' name, what was that?
The Tom Joyner Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 9 a.m. on News Talk Cleveland, WERE, and streaming live at blackplanetradio.com.
In America, the zip code you're born into can determine your future. If this baby was born a couple miles away, his chances of dropping out of school skyrocket. Born 5 miles farther, his chances of experiencing violent crime rise. But just one town over, his chances at a healthier life improve. At The Y, our programs help all kids thrive, no matter where they're from. Support your local Y at ymca.net/forabetterus.
Questions about youth or high school sports? Positive Coaching Alliance can help. PCA, a national nonprofit organization, develops better athletes and better people through youth and high school sports. Info at positivecoach.org.
Sometimes we forget that the funeral is for the living. It is the last visible viewing and celebration. But for those of us in the industry, it is a time for our experience and excellence to shine. At R.A. Prince Funeral Services, our expertise in different cultures, economics, and family blend makes us stand out in helping to meet the trust and faith you have placed in our hands. We know it is paramount for us to ease the burden and release the pressure of this time of need. Let R.A. Prince Funeral Services meet with you and take the worry out. Call us at 216-518-1777. That is 216-518-1777. R.A. Prince Funeral Services, for such a time as this.
1490 WERE traffic.
Good afternoon. This traffic update sponsored by Positive Coaching Alliance. In Bedford, if you're going southbound 271, you'll find a crash just north of Broadway with the traffic backed up to Richmond Road. And if you're on Tiedemann Road, there's been another accident reported at 480. If you're headed westbound 480, look out for a disabled vehicle blocking the right lane at Transportation Boulevard. And if you're in Summit going southbound Route 8, you'll find some slow delays between Perkins Street and Central Interchange. Questions about youth or high school sports? Positive Coaching Alliance can help. PCA, a national nonprofit organization, develops better athletes and better people through youth and high school sports. Info at positivecoach.org. I'm Lorenzo Ware on Cleveland's News Talk 1490 WERE AM, the People Station.
This is for that little child with no father, for that man that doesn't have a place to stay, and for that little boy living with AIDS.
Can I tell you a story? Tell you a story.
You can lean on me.
There's a man.
All right, we can lean on one another. We're going to go right to our Black History moment because we are unashamedly African-American. Every day is Black History. So every time we have a show, we use this opportunity to educate us about a Black History moment. Go ahead, our residential historian, Brother Larry Hagler. Go, Larry.
Thank you, Pastor Phillips. And Councilman Jones, you might like this subject. We're going to honor Dr. Walter McAfee. He was born in 1914. He graduated from Wiley College with a B.S. in math in 1934. Received his master's from The Ohio State University in 1937. In 1942, Dr. McAfee joined the U.S. Army Signal Corps of Engineering Laboratories at Fort Monmouth, New Jersey. His skill set propelled him into the Project DIMA team, which was a collaboration where engineers and scientists studied the Earth's relationship to the moon via radar signaling echoing. Dr. McAfee contributed to the theoretical calculations, including radar cross-sections of the moon and the distance to the moon. On January 10, 1946, the group was successful at calculating the speed of the moon, all due to Dr. McAfee's calculations. After the success of engineering project, he received his doctoral degree at Cornell University and then his PhD as well. You know, in 1956, he was honored in the Secretary of the Army Research and Study Fellowship by President Dwight D. Eisenhower. Dr. McAfee died February 18, 1995 at his home in South Belmar, New Jersey.
Wow, that is powerful. One smart cookie.
Yes, he was.
Boy, I would love to carry his briefcase. What a smart fella. Thank you, Brother Larry, and you're smart for getting him.
Thank you.
I love that. I love Councilman Jones. That we are great athletes, and we have great minds as well.
That's right.
And we have another great mind on the phone, Attorney Stacey Polk. Are you there?
I sure am, gentlemen. Thank you for allowing me yet another opportunity to be in your August company. We have quite a week coming up for community news and kingdom information, starting with June 26th at Glenville High School, 650 East 113th Street. That's 113th and St. Clair. There is a neighborhood housing clinic. Judge Ronald O'Leary is bringing his team to us in Glenville, considering all sorts of challenges, issues, concerns that we may have. Landlord, tenant, eviction procedures, information for homeowners. Please come out at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. on June the 26th. That is Wednesday at Glenville High School, 650 East 113. Then on Friday morning, bright and early, we are honoring Mr. Melvin Pye as a trailblazer. The Christian Business League, sponsored by Mount Zion Congregational Church, my humble Christian abode, is honoring Melvin Pye. He has been quite the businessman in terms of being a member of the Greater Cleveland Roundtable, Inner City Nursing Home Chair, Fairfax Place Chair. However, for me, his tenure as a Sunday school teacher at Mount Zion Congregational Church, and I having had the anointed privilege of having been one of his students, we ask you to please come out to Acacia
of the Metro Park, which is 26899 Cedar Road, which is which is Cedar and Richmond. There's a $25 donation requested. Well worth it. Splendid program. Stellar individual. And then we move on into our anointed activity on July the 2nd in the Huff neighborhood at 1567 Crawford Road, which is the Star of Bethel Church, where our very own Cleveland Clergy Coalition will be hosting a community day series of activities from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And we're looking for all of you anointed souls to come out and be fed. There's going to be refreshments, but more importantly, there's going to be food for the souls. So your souls will be well nourished at that activity. This is such a banner day that we are also having our financial fitness seminar, as it is that first Tuesday, at the Glenville Rec Center from 5:30 to 7, which still leaves you time. If you happen to start there with us, it still leaves you time to go on over, as I'm going to do, after planning finances and declaring in the Frederick Douglass sense my financial independence and planning for that to happen, I will come over and have my spirit refreshed at the Cleveland Clergy Coalition activity over in Huff.
All right. Well, thank you. See there, Councilman Jones, that's information getting out.
It sure
that's
is.
That's what we do. We get information out. Well, you understand what I'm saying?
In fact, I'm thinking about it all in my head.
I know. I see you over there thinking. You see, we got a plan here.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know where I got this idea? Church. Smart. You got church announcements. Mm-hmm. You got church announcements. Every Sunday we're giving church announcements. So why are we giving church announcements on the radio broadcast to the community? Yeah. You know, most of the things that I learn how to do, I learn in church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so thank you, Stacy Polk. We appreciate that, and thank you for the historical moment, and thank you for listening. All right, we're getting ready to wrap up. Councilman Jones, we're coming to a close. Tell us some important things, that the last notes that you want to give to us.
Well, I think that, you know, again, it's just wrapping up with just a blessing to have a new lighting system brought to the citizens of the city of Cleveland, and a new security cameras throughout the city of Cleveland. It's just to say, and this is sometimes where we forget to say thank you, and so we want to thank, you know, the mayor of the city of Cleveland, as well as all city council, who worked to make this become a reality. But more important, I want to thank the citizens, because they voted for issue 32 that made all of this possible. So Pastor, just taking that moment to say thank you, and never forgetting who brought us where we are, who made us what we are, who gives us opportunity for life, which is a gift, and that's God. So everything that I do, I always try to do my best to give God all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Because at the end of the day, I realize one thing. It doesn't matter what I can say on this radio program about the various different projects that are coming to the city of Cleveland, or resources that I've been a part of bringing in, it would not be possible if God didn't allow it to be. So
amen
with that,
that.
Well, I just want to thank him for everything that I am.
Well said. Councilman, you know we have the Democratic presidential debates coming up this week. Any thoughts about that?
Well, I'm excited about the number of candidates that are out there running. I think that we have to be really clear about what our values are and our standards. And we really have to show contrast between our party and the Republican Party. We need to show how they play with words. We need to show how they are destroying democracy as we see it today. And all the things that we talked about, that party is not for. It's not for the expansion of really helping people. It's about how this party, unfortunately, has warped into a party that tries to disenfranchise people from voting, take away their rights and their ability and the capacity to vote, and a party that is willing to blame the other party versus doing its own business. We're 2.5 years into this president, and every time I turn on the TV, he's always talking about what Barack Obama hasn't done. We want to hear what you're doing and what your party's doing to help the citizens of the United States. And whether it's Republican or Democrat, it should always be one unifying principle: is what's in the best interest of America as a whole.
Well said.
I think that at the end of the day, we've become unbalanced with that. It should always be about what is in the best interest of the citizens of this great nation. And when we focus like that, doesn't matter which party it is. It's what's in the best interest of our people, because it is supposed to be a government based upon democracy of the people, for the people, by the people, and the people giving the consent to elected officials to govern.
Are you running for president? We need to put him up for president. Forget the city council stuff.
That's right.
Well said. But sincerely, as we're preparing for 2020, we need to make sure that we have an agenda. African-American agenda, and I know we're talking about that, and you can be the person to pontificate that. Stay here with us. We're going to have Pastor Gator come on. Pastor Gator, are you there, Pastor?
Yes, sir. How are you doing, Doc?
I'm doing fantastic. This is Pastor Gator, pastor of Christ Baptist Church. Give us that address, Pastor.
3304 East 126th Street.
And what time is the service on Sunday?
Sunday school at 9:30. Morning worship begins at 10:30.
All right. And he's also the president of the Baptist Pastors Council. And we thank you for calling in. There's two things I want you to highlight before you give us a closing word, Pastor Gator, what happened this weekend. Tell us about Pastor George Stewart.
Pastor George Stewart at the Divine Chapel Baptist Church out on Lee Road. All year long, he and the church have been recognizing that he has been the pastor of Divine Chapel for 50 years. And yesterday and this coming Sunday, they are celebrating 50 years of him pastoring Zion Chapel. And yesterday, his son in the ministry, Pastor Mercedes Cunningham, who pastors the Shiloh Baptist Church in Dayton, Ohio, was there and had a great host of bus, 46 passenger bus, and all kind of cars here yesterday and filled Zion Chapel up, and he preached until preaching was going out of style. I told him he preached like he was looking for another church.
Well, he's preaching like he's a new pastor of a big church in Dayton. That's right. And then Pastor Gator, something's happening next Sunday as well, right?
Yes, sir. We all know our good friend and our brother that we're still mourning the loss of Pastor Stephen Douglas Sullivan of the Evening Star Baptist Church here in Cleveland, and who passed away back in March of this year. And they are going to have the unveiling of the church on this coming Sunday.
All right.
At 5 o'clock, I believe it is. And Pastor Mercedes Cunningham is coming back and preaching that service on this coming Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
And the church, Evening Star Baptist Church, is located at 99th and Sinclair Avenue.
All right. Well, thank you for coming. We cover both sides of town with the Cleveland Clergy Coalition, Pastor. And Pastor Jones knows Pastor Stewart very well. It's in his ward.
Yes.
All right, Pastor Gator, give us a parting word for us for this week.
Yes, sir. I've been doing a series of sermons on power at my church. And yesterday I preached from the 37th chapter of Ezekiel about the dry bones, and my subject was the power of God's word. There's power in God's word, and when you got the word of God, his word will move you together. It'll join you together.
Yes, sir.
When the Lord told Ezekiel to prophesy to the bones, and Ezekiel, he asked Ezekiel, could the bones live? And Ezekiel's he didn't say yes, and he didn't say no, but he said, Lord, you know. And the Lord told him, prophesy again, and the bones started to come together and move together. And so if we as a people would get the word of God, not philosophy, not fairy tales, but get the word of God, because there's power in the word of God,
yes, sir,
we can move together and be united as one people.
Woo.
Trying to make our city better,
yes,
make our communities better,
yes,
and to make this world better, and maybe some of the killings and all of this stuff will stop.
That's
if
right.
We would just get the power of God's word. That's right. And we who are preachers of the gospel, we preach God's word, but we need to get that power ourselves so that we can come together and work together and be on one accord and make this community a better city all over the city of Cleveland and its suburbs.
Thank you, Brother Pastor. We appreciate that. We need the power of God's word. Thank you, Councilman
Jones.
Sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you, Gwen, for being there. Thank you for that word, Pastor Gator. We need the power of God to bring us together.
God bless you, Cleveland.
We love you. You hear from us next week. Have a great week.
Can you hear him crying now?
The proceeding was a paid program brought to you by Cleveland Clergy Coalition. The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station or its management. WERE Cleveland Heights, WENZ HD2, and WZAK HD3 Cleveland.